Broadcasting live from the WKBC studios in Garden City, this is the Morning Roundup with Baylen Hite and Derek Decker on 99.9 The Rock.
We are back. It's time for a Friday morning edition of the Morning Roundup, live from Garden City in the KWKR studios just off of East Kansas Ave. It's the Morning Roundup here, 9 to 10 a.m. every morning. Baylen Hite, Derek Decker, we're so glad you're listening with us this morning. We just got done discussing the trials and tribulations of being an Indiana basketball fan, or really being from the state of Indiana. And I'm sure there is some connection to KU fans out here with at least, you know, the basketball connection. KU's had a lot more success than Indiana has had in recent time. It's just a giant headache. It always is. And luckily, me and Derek have moved to a time zone in which we get an hour extra sleep than everybody else when we stay up late after Indiana lets us down. So that's always nice, Derek, isn't it?
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, I always think back to those old 9 o'clock games, and you know they're not tipping off till 9:12. And that game last night, the Hoosiers and the Hawks took forever because of the reviews and because of the technicals and all the BS. And it just was one of those games where it's like you're trying to struggle to make it to the end of the game. And you're right. It doesn't happen that way anymore, which is just even better because now I have to sit around for an extra hour before I go to bed to think about it even more. It's just great.
There you go. Yeah. So we're going to keep it positive, though, today. We're going to take a positive spin. A lot of great news coming out of the sporting world. Some frustrating news and some upsetting news regarding the Big 12 basketball. We'll talk about that. Look at the Big 12 schedule for both Kansas and Kansas State. And, of course, the five-star pick 'em returns. It's been a while, and this one has a college basketball theme to it for sure. As we just missed out on the big window of college football, those bowl games kind of taking place while we are away for break. We also have your Take It to the Bank to finish out today's show. So if you want to earn some cash, or maybe not, probably not, based on my record at least, you're probably following Derek here. That's who you'd want to tail, not me. And then we'll look at our Western Kansas Broadcast Center schedule this weekend. It is a packed one, but we're going to go ahead and start with our first story of the morning, our morning news and notes. And we told you it's going to be a positive show, or for the most part. We're going to try to keep things positive this morning. And boy, we've got some of the best news of the week. Yesterday, doctors from the University of Cincinnati Medical Center reporting that the condition of DeMar Hamlin is improving. They said, quote, remarkable improvement. He will remain in critical condition, though, until his body reaches a point of full recovery, and the goal, obviously, to get him back to who he was before the incident occurred on Monday Night Football. They say he's neurologically intact, he's been moving his arms, his legs, and he's even communicating via writing. He is still in tube, so he still doesn't have a breathing tube in his throat, so it's kind of hard to communicate, obviously, verbally there, but he's been writing, he's been communicating. He even asked the doctors when he kind of came to, he said, who won the game? And they told him, you won the game of life. And really, really incredible story. His toy drive donation, the GoFundMe that was pretty publicized, up to $7.5 million. And we're early in the year for sports. It's only January 6th, but there's still a long road to go. I do want to say it's looking like it's going to be a positive story. Could this be the story of the year in sports already, Derek? I mean, we're only 6 days through the year.
Yeah, very easily maybe. And it's very interesting that the first quote, right, you know, one of the first words that comes out for DeMar Hamlin. It's funny because I was talking with a buddy of mine here in Dodge City about that, and he said, you know what, the first thing he's going to say is who won the game. And it's exactly how it went down. And I feel like that's, you know, almost any athlete's response when they come to is, you know, wondering the outcome of the game. And, man, it's really something to see how this whole thing has evolved. But you're right. This definitely has a chance to turn into the story of the year. And obviously the fallout from that, which we're going to get to in a minute, about the potential playoff scenarios, which is really interesting, by the way. So stick around for that. But all in all, really great news this week. And I think a lot of folks have just kind of been hanging on and hoping for a positive word for DeMar all week long. And it's slowly gotten better and better and more promising. And I think we're at a point now where he's starting to look like he's going to be in better shape and make at least some point of a recovery, but, you know, not out of the woods yet. So just an outpouring of support has just been incredibly impressive from across the league and across the non-sports world as well.
Yeah, it's awesome stuff. It's really something that every time you wake up and after such a devastating thing that happened on Monday, a chance to see some positive news, and it's always good to hear. I'm sure there'll be more on this, obviously. Still in critical condition, so not out of the woods yet, but condition is making a remarkable improvement for DeMar Hamlin, and really just great stuff. Now, that does bring up our next topic of discussion, and I think it's safe to go ahead and start discussing this at this point because, like I said, the condition improving. The doctors are hoping, best-case scenario, a full recovery to who he was before the incident happened, which would be incredible. I mean, that would indicate almost that he's able, I'm not saying he's going to play football again, but my point is that, you know, if you're going to say before the incident, that's when he was, you know, a top of the line athlete and safety for the Buffalo Bills. So let's get into the specifics now of this playoff scenario and kind of what the NFL is going on. The league is supposed to have a special meeting today with the commissioner. They are going to vote and try to navigate some potential situations. So I do want to start with this, and this is what was kind of reported yesterday by Adam Schefter on First Take. So sometime early this morning, about the time actually we were on the air here, it was discussed at one point, there were a couple of scenarios, that the number one seed would have the option of either home field advantage and would have to play in the first round of the playoffs, or they would be able to take that first round bye. And then whatever option they didn't select, the second seed would get that option. And then in a certain scenario, which we're about to go over, there would be a moment in which, or a time, depending on the matchup in the AFC Championship game, if certain matchups did end up happening, they would be played at a neutral site. So let me go ahead and read the release. This is via Adam Schefter on Twitter, a reporter for ESPN. A neutral site AFC Championship game is now possible per the NFL. Due to the canceling of the game, and we should preface that as well, the game will not be replayed, not even be resumed versus the Bills and the Bengals, creates a potential competitive inequities in certain playoff scenarios. In an effort to mitigate those inequities, NFL clubs will consider tomorrow in a special meeting, tomorrow being today, a resolution by the committee and commissioner could be approved. Here are the elements, two elements. Number one, the AFC Championship game will be played at a neutral site if the participating teams played an unequal number of games and both could have been the number one seed and had hosted the AFC clubs played a full 17-game regular season. Those circumstances involve Buffalo or Cincinnati for the qualifying game as the road team are listed below. Buffalo and Kansas City win, or excuse me, it's coming up in Week 18. Buffalo and Kansas City win or both tie, a Buffalo-Kansas City championship game would be a neutral site. So that would be a first, I think, in an AFC championship game. I'm not sure the specifics on that, but before the merger, I would assume that would be the first in an AFC championship game. Scenario number two, Buffalo and Kansas City both lose. Baltimore wins or ties. A Buffalo versus Kansas City championship game would be at a neutral site. So this is all really contingent on both teams winning or both teams losing, or a tie could also be thrown into that mix as well. And the last scenario, scenario number three, Buffalo and Kansas City both lose and Cincinnati wins. A Buffalo or Cincinnati versus a Kansas City championship game would be at a neutral site. If Baltimore defeats Cincinnati in Week 18, it will have defeated Cincinnati, divisional opponent, twice, but will not be able to host a playoff game because Cincinnati will have a higher winning percentage for a 16-game schedule than Baltimore will have for a 17-game schedule. And then it gets into a bunch of specifics, and a lot of that has to do with winning percentage. There's so many ways to look at it. I don't really fully understand it to an extent, but here is the main factor. The main factor is they're just trying to create a non-competitive edge for one of the two teams, two of the teams that didn't play an extra game. Kansas City being the team that would have played an extra game. Buffalo has the tiebreaker over Kansas City. They're vaulted into that top spot right now. Derek, can you shed a little bit more light on this? It's confusing. It's a lot of verbiage. It's a lot of words to go through. We're going to get a clearer picture today, obviously, when they vote and decide how they're going to do this, and I'm sure it'll come out a lot easier. But those are the options being thrown out there, and what do you make of this right now?
Well, I think this is, I don't know if there's necessarily the most fair option, but I think this does seem like the most reasonable option to me in the fact that the most important thing here, and this is what we talked about when this incident happened, at the very beginning was saying, look, everybody that's going to make the playoffs is going to make the playoffs. Like, this did not have any impact on who was going to make the playoffs and who wasn't. So the most important thing here is home field advantage and what that looks like. Obviously, neutral site games are not foreign to the NFL. They've done some regular season games, Buffalo playing in Detroit in the past. That sets them up as a potential. Also, by the way, just want to float out a couple ideas that could be hosts. I saw New Orleans tossed around. I also saw Atlanta tossed around as a potential neutral site host. So, you know, you could really play the game just about anywhere if you wanted to. At the end of the day, I like this. I don't like the rumors, obviously, of the eighth team being added. I think that's ridiculous. Of course, that's not going to happen. But I at the end of the day, this is a situation where the NFL has put together this scenario and this group of scenarios on the outcomes of this potential week 18, you know, how things stack out after the end of the day, with Buffalo and Kansas City being the two most important, Cincinnati in the mix as well, obviously. I think the Chiefs here are the team that kind of figured at the end of the day, this is one of those that's like, this is not a situation the Chiefs expected to be in. They were obviously rooting for a certain outcome on Monday night that they didn't get. So there's just so many things at play. But again, I think the NFL has done a nice job handling this. And I think a neutral site AFC championship provides a lot of intrigue. And it's also, and I'm just floating this out there just off my own merit, this is also a potential thing down the road for the NFL if they may ever consider neutral site AFC, NFC championship games again, because that's something that has been a possibility floated around the league for a very long time. So this could end up being a good trial run for that.
Well, I'll tell you a place that is not going to be getting used in the playoffs for sure, and that's Lucas Oil Stadium. That's a place that is almost right smack dab in the middle of both Buffalo and Kansas City. It's hosted big venues before, Big Ten Championship, obviously. The Final Four has been there time and time again. They've had Super Bowls there. Why not give Indianapolis a shot at hosting? They have the infrastructure. They have the setup for it. I think that'd be a great spot for an AFC Championship game if we're looking at possible other locations. And you're right. I don't want to say the word Kansas City gets hurt the most by this, because I think if you talk to that locker room in Kansas City, would they really be that upset about the situation? No. They understand. It's, you know, the NFL's a brotherhood. If that happened to them, they would want the same treatment, right? I mean, excuse me, there's not really a... There's no one's going to come out and be against a neutral site, against a team getting favored, but Kansas City still has to take care of business, right? In order for them to really even have a seat at the table to talk about this or to be opposed by this, you've got to win in Week 18. It starts tomorrow night against the Las Vegas Raiders, a bad Raiders team, good personnel, a lot of good skill groups. You've got Josh Jacobs out there, Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, great weapons. It could be a shootout game, but you've got Jared Stidham in there starting at quarterback, not Derek Carr, so that does change things a little bit in that game. You would expect Kansas City to win a primetime game. Let's see if I can pull that line up right now. We'll look at that line here. I'm sure the Chiefs are favored, right? Can't imagine they wouldn't be favored in that matchup. 6-10, Las Vegas, 13-3, Kansas City. So that is where I'm at with that. I like all the options offered. I think it would be fun to see a neutral site AFC championship game. And you take away, too, we're obviously talking way ahead of time here, and we're looking ahead, but you have to take this into factor. You got to get there first, which hasn't always been a given. I mean, every time these teams have matched up, it's been fun, but there's a long road. There's a team in the mix that I'd like to toss out there, the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson's not healthy right now, but if Lamar somehow gets healthy before the playoff run, that could be exciting. See what Lamar does. I think that not necessarily because what Lamar could do semi-injured, but because he's been out of the league or been out of the spotlight for a little while, sometimes you forget about Lamar Jackson. And so I think they would provide an intriguing matchup. And I don't know who else in there. Jacksonville's playing pretty good right now, but I don't think they can take down any of the teams. The Chiefs, as we stand, are my favorite to come out of the AFC. I think what happened with the Bills and Bengals is very tough to overcome, and I would love to see the Bills get there just because of the story and because of where they're at. And they were my pick heading into the matchup with the Bengals. I thought the Bills could run the table, especially if they got home field. I just have to see how Buffalo is going to be able to respond to this, because let me tell you, it's not easy. And there were conversations between the Bills and the Bengals of not even playing this week either because of the emotional, just the everything that gets drained out of you because of this moment, because of what happened, because of the spotlight. So if we're talking a football sense here, I've got to go with Kansas City regardless of where it's being played. I do like what they're going to try to do. I don't want to get too much more into it outside of that because we're going to get a clearer picture today when they go ahead and go through that vote. And Derek, you did mention the eight team being added. The NFL came out and said that was not anything in their circle of talks, more just kind of online social media rumors, because at that point, if you were able to get an eighth team involved, that would then give the one and two seed a bye. So that was kind of the thought process there by some armchair commissioners, I think, more so than that. That's where we're at in the NFL. Obviously, Chiefs in action tomorrow, and then Denver ends their season on Sunday. You can listen to all of those games on our Western Kansas Broadcast Center network of stations. Go ahead and head over to westernkansasnews.com for the full schedule there. And should be a lot of fun. I should mention that Chiefs game, not available in English. That is going to be on KSSA La Que Buena 105.9. So that's where you can find that game on Saturday night. Last news and notes of the morning. It's a football-heavy selection here in our morning news and notes. Last little note, DeMarcus Elliott, Indiana defensive lineman, selected to the Tropical Bowl. And if you know the name, Elliott, the last name in particular, pretty good product coming out of Garden City High School, both him and his brother Terrell. They're going the same route, right? Terrell's at Garden City right now. DeMarcus spent a year at Garden City and finished out a four-year career with 40 starts at Indiana, 109 tackles, had 4.5 sacks, 11 tackles for a loss, playing for Tom Allen back in Bloomington. That's Derek's neck of the woods there. Got a lot of time seeing DeMarcus Elliott play, but pretty cool invitation to go to the Tropical Bowl. It's sponsored by the FBS All-Americans, and going to get a chance to go down to Orlando, play one more game, showcase his talents before the potential NFL draft. And I know DeMarcus, we had a great conversation with him earlier this summer before his season about his NFL draft aspirations and what it would mean for him to get out of Garden City and get to the NFL draft just to represent the city. And he was very awesome in that conversation. You can find that on westernkansasnews.com as well. Just go ahead and search in Garden City Sports, and interview with DeMarcus Elliott should pop right up. That was a fantastic conversation we had. Derek, what do you make of this? You've seen DeMarcus play on that Indiana defense quite a bit. Pretty awesome opportunity for him, and obviously a chance to represent Southwest Kansas.
Yeah, and he's a tremendous guy. He is one of the glue guys for Indiana when he was there, and he was one of those leaders from the time he stepped on the field, and obviously already came in with a little bit of college experience when he came to Indiana. And the pipeline is starting to grow stronger. I'll just say that about Indiana in terms of the JUCO route. There's a lot of players from the Jayhawk that are getting offers from Indiana, and a couple of guys that are already signed and committed to go there next year. So that's certainly a potential destination for a lot of the guys that we see across the Jayhawk Conference, and really cool to see that. But again, DeMarcus Elliott was quick off the line, physical guy, can get into the backfield, really, really impressive player on defense for Indiana for 4 years, just a steady rock. And he was one of those guys that you could count on because he didn't get hurt very often. He was healthy for the vast majority of his career, and that has not always been the case at Indiana, and kind of shone bright in a football program that has seen its ups and downs while he was at IU. Of course, a couple years ago, Indiana jolted into the top 10 in the COVID year in 2020. And in the last couple of years, they've put together just three Big Ten wins across the last 2 years. So DeMarcus Elliott, good for him. Again, tremendous leader and an awesome guy that fit Tom Allen's program very well.
Yeah, once again, we had a great conversation with him. Super, super awesome. Great family as well. His brother Terrell starting to kind of poke through at Garden City at the last couple of games this season as well at the community college, starting to get some tackles and play really, really good football just like his brother once did. I'm sure it won't be long before we see Terrell Elliott at the next level potentially, and he's got a good mentor there and his brother DeMarcus. All right, that wraps up our morning news and notes. We're going to take a quick timeout, get you into some Big 12 news. And we're talking a firing at one of the top programs. You probably know who, but do you know what it might affect Kansas State? We'll talk about that in the next segment. Look at the Big 12 schedule for KU, Kansas State, and then five-star pick'em returns on a Friday edition of the Morning Roundup. We'll bring it right back here in a few minutes. Stick with us.